The way we take care of ourselves is ever evolving.
And what we know for sure is that our mind and spirit are linked to our physical body.
And that our wellness seems to extend into our communities and the planet we all share.
It is very, very clear that wellness is interconnected.
We love spending time with you to explore and practice the breakthroughs, the insights, and the passions of incredible people helping us all see the world in a whole new light.
This is HealthGig.
So today we're being joined by Dr. Jennifer Fried, who is a renowned psychological astrologer, but more importantly, she's a friend, and she recently joined us at the Gasparilla Inn at our Foundations of Wellbeing retreat, and she was wonderful. Welcome to HealthGig, Dr. Fried.
I'm so excited to be here because I'm big fans of you and Tricia.
Oh, and I'm sorry Trisha's not here. She's out with the wolves in Montana. She's a wolf tracker, so she's out doing that, and she's very sorry to miss you. But I'm glad that I get to be the one to interview you today, and it's just so good to see you because you were amazing at our Foundations of Wellbeing conference, and I cannot tell you how many people continue to talk about how great you were there. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I appreciated the honor, and I keep talking to folks like Laura this morning from Texas, and says hi, and how much your work has changed her life. So there you go.
Well, thank you. We're thrilled to have this conversation with you, and I thought we could begin by asking a little bit about your upbringing and if there was anything that shaped you to become who you are today.
Yes, I had two extremely strong parents from New York City. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was an enormous influence on me. So I'm going to start with her, because if you're lucky enough to have a grandmother that you love with all your heart, lucky you. Mm. My grandmother was an author, and she was a businesswoman, and she was a spy for the U.S. government against the Nazis.
Wow.
She was an extraordinary person. But what really stood out for me the most about my grandmother is I felt unconditional love. She had the best laughter. She was absolutely intelligent and self-educated and warm. What a gift my grandmother was to me. So that influenced me a lot. And then both my parents were entrepreneurial. My dad was an actor. My mom was in PR. And they had a love of life. They were both very adventurous and courageous. And I was the youngest girl, and the only girl. So I had the benefit of two parents that said to me, I could do anything I wanted to do. Mm. And back when I was born in 1958, that wasn't so typical.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thank my parents for giving me a foundation of confidence and a lot of permission to be authentic.
Well, it sounds like your grandmother was before her time.
Yes, she was, and she was a hoot.
And I was the only girl in my family. Did you have brothers?
Two brothers.
Okay.
Yes, and one has passed, and one is still very close to me. Yeah.
And you were the youngest.
Youngest, and I was the brattiest and the most spoiled. And I say that now with humility and some regret.
Exactly. Well, I was also the youngest, but I have to say that mantle of being the most brattiest goes to my youngest brother, because I had four brothers. He is now an absolute prince, but back then that was what he did. But anyway, that aside, how did you decide to become a psychological astrologist? And what is that for our listeners who don't know?
Yes, real simply, you all are familiar with a psychologist or therapist. We study the condition of the human soul, and we try to alleviate suffering, and we also help people build inner resources so they can be the most effective and fulfilled in their lives. So psychology is pretty straightforward, and there's lots of brands of psychology. Astrology has always, forever been the practice of trying to see what is the soul's life lesson plan. your cosmic DNA, if you will. When you look at a natal chart, which is quite complex, it can show you your gifts and your challenges in this lifetime, but it's up to you to make something of them. So when you put together psychology with astrology, you get the cosmic DNA or the soul map, which is the name of one of my books, A Map to Your Soul. You get that. That's the astrology. But with the psychology, you also are given tools and techniques and listening that helps you elevate those gifts and meet your challenges.
Is it a system that helps you take responsibility for your own life?
Oh, Doro, I love you more than ever that you ask that because this is my passion, that everyone takes responsibility for their own life. Life is not done to us. We are in divine partnership, is my contention. So I always coach people through my practice to tell their story with themselves as the creator of what happens. So yes, we all have adversity. We all face challenges, but it's not because something's being done to us. Life just happens, and it's what we make of it.
What's your day-to-day life like as a psychological astrologist? Tell us what you like about your work and what the challenges are.
Okay, well, first of all, it took me a long time to get it exactly how I like it, which is now. But I'll tell you what my day is like, and I think you'll relate in some way. You know, for me, spirit is everything, and then all my life comes from that. So I spend the first hours of the morning, usually from 6 to 7:30 or 8 in spiritual practice. That's what I do, and I wouldn't start any day without it. I don't skip a day. Then I do a lot of writing in the morning, and then I'll see in a day 2 different clients, so only 2. And then I make sure I exercise in the day. My family, especially my partner, is everything to me, so quality time with my friends and partner. I always do meditation at night, and I also do some stretching to stay nimble and physically good. So I don't have a very complicated life now, which is the way I like it. But I'd say the emphasis is on spiritual practice, creativity, connection, and meaningful work in that order.
Spiritual practice, is that also meditation in the morning, or is that prayer?
Yes, of course. Of course, Doro. Of course it's meditation.
Yes.
I was trained in Vipassana meditation. When I was 20-something years old, I had a calling from the divine to go on a 10-day silent retreat. And I was floored that I would get this calling because at 20-something, I could care less about sitting quietly. I was extroverted. I was social. What do you want from me? But the voice was very strong. You need to go on a 10-day silent retreat. So I did. And ever since then, I really see the benefit of quieting the mind and appealing to the better nature in myself. So I start the day with meditation. I do Qigong. I do a writing practice to thank the divine of my knowing for all the extraordinary experiences in my life. And I do a type of mindfulness guided training that I do every morning.
And you do 2 clients, so is that on Zoom?
Yes. It became on Zoom entirely because of the pandemic, because I had to be careful, as we all did. I will see people at my house. I gave up my office. I prefer in person, as I imagine most of us do, but it's not possible. And now my clients are all over the world, literally. So Zoom is the practical way.
When you meet with a client, can you walk through what that's like?
It's very structured at this point. So first, I do a blessing for that person based on their chart, and I ask them to connect with the divine of their knowing, whatever they call that. But I always say what you said right from the beginning. You are the expert on you. This is your divine intelligence. I'm just the facilitator. So first, we do the blessing. And then I give them a summary of their chart, their birth chart, the way I see it. And I say to them, it's only helpful if it feels true to you. If it's not, I'm wrong. One of my biggest convictions at this moment in time is people cannot give up their power to another human being. We all have to have agency for ourselves, even if we have reverence for others. Mm-hmm. So I talk about their chart, and then the next 35 to 40 minutes is walking through where they are in their life in terms of relationship, career, spirituality, health. And by looking at what's called the transits or cycles in astrology, we talk through what could be helpful to them at this moment in their life up to the next 6 months.
What information do you need from your clients to do this? To do your, is it
a reading? To do an accurate reading. Yeah, it's called a reading. To do an accurate reading, we need the birth date, the birth time, and the birthplace. And that will be the most accurate reading. And then from that, I can have a computer calculate the chart, which involves many different sacred geometries and aspects and angles that literally takes years to interpret well. It's like a graduate school education. Most people think of astrology as, oh, I'm a Leo, or I'm a Virgo, or I'm a this. Yeah. That's only your sun sign. And that's just one piece. It would be like saying, I know you, Doro, because I know the color of your lipstick, which would not tell me that much about you.
Right.
The chart involves many complexities, many planets, many angles, and it's an art to interpret them. And that's what I do.
When I was reading your book, which I'm excited to talk about, called A Map to Your Soul, I came across one of those charts and it did look extremely complicated. And I was looking at it and I thought, what the heck? I mean, how on earth does someone decipher that? But you do that.
It's a lot of education. So I want to demystify this because I have actually trained hundreds of people in astrology. And out of hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, only four people have gone on to become astrologers. It's like how many people finish their PhD. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's hard.
Well, you're a PhD, so you know that.
Like you know, you've worked hard your whole life. I see how diligent a person you are. One of the things people don't understand is to really practice as an astrologer is a life work. It's a lot of discipline, a lot of study, and hopefully some humility, because to me, the customer is always right. I'm not here to be right. I'm here to be helpful.
What do you love most about your work, and what do you find challenging?
Well, I absolutely love my work. I'm one of the luckiest people. I wake up every day, and because I figured out two clients a day is it for me, I always look forward to it. So the thing I love the best is when I do the reading and start with the blessing, it's a sacrament. My work is sacred. So I get the benefit of being in divine energy in my work. It's like the best feeling of being with the divine, with another human being in their divine self, and being helpful, which matters to me. I want to help people as best I can. So that's what I love. The other thing I love, Doro, is that I meet people that I would never meet in my whole entire life if it weren't for this job. So I've worked with army medics. I've worked with physicists. I've worked with, you name it, all of them. I'm the luckiest person. I get to learn about their work and their field, and I get to meet people from all walks of life I would have never met. And as an Aquarius sun, that's so fun. So I love that. I think the challenge at this point, the challenge for me is I can't see everybody, and I have a lot of people that would like the session. That's a challenge. And the other challenge is, well, like you, I feel a deep empathy for world suffering. So the challenge on a daily basis is to bring my bright light, even though my heart is breaking too, for the suffering in the world. For me, I think the challenge is keeping my bright light on to be of service to others, because there's so much pain right now that we all see in the wars and et cetera, that that's a big shovel to keep shoveling for me.
So you've written this book. So is this your second or third book?
My 10th or 11th book.
Oh, your 10th or 11th.
I've only, I only have two books that are bestsellers in astrology, but I think you would really like one of my other best-selling books I wrote years ago called Lessons from Stanley the Cat.
What was Lessons of Stanley the Cat about?
Have you ever had a pet that you deeply loved?
Oh, yes, I do. Right this very minute, I do.
So Stanley was my cat, but I guarantee you, because I've had cats and dogs, he was an enlightened being. You know, there's those animals that are just way beyond.
Yes.
Stanley helped me with my work. Stanley was everything to me. And when he passed at 19 or 20, I wrote all of these things that he had taught me. And a good friend of mine that was in publishing said, you have to make this a book. And I got a friend from Sweden who did the illustration, and it was a really popular book, Lessons from Stanley the Cat. It was basically what this enlightened cat taught me about life, and it was really joyful, and I still love that book. But anyway, that's an aside. I love that book.
Yes.
These books on astrology, my first one was called Use Your Planets Wisely, and it's all about how to look at your own chart and then use the book to really understand yourself and others. And then A Map to Your Soul was commissioned by Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop, and Random House. And it's much more about psychology and astrology and how to have a fully expressed life. That's my passion. I think everybody feels better when they're fully expressed.
As I was reading this book, I was curious as to what you think the best way to use the book would be. And is it a book that you just sort of go through from the beginning to the end? Tell us the purpose of this book and how you think it's best used.
Well, I think it's a book that you should refer to periodically and review. Mm-hmm. My fondest desire would be that you do that with your spouse or best friend that you meet and you talk about it with another person, because the entire book, every chapter is about how to flush out more of who you are in full self-expression. So in order to do that, you can't rush through that. Nobody flowers in a moment, or if they do, it dies quick. Mm-hmm. But to get a beloved other to do the work with you, if you meet once a week or once a month, but take a chapter, work it out together, and support each other to really do the exercises.
Do you need knowledge of astrology to digest this book?
Not at all. A Map to Your Soul was created explicitly for people that were interested in astrology or not at all.
Yes.
I wanted it to be a way for people to learn about themselves and others that didn't take any technical knowledge in astrology.
Okay, that's good. So the book focuses on elements. Can you give us a little primer on elements, and is the purpose of someone's life to balance the elements?
You see how smart you are. You knew
that. No, I'm not. I enjoy.
You are, though. You intuitively, you know it. You know it, Doro. Okay, here's
Thank
the deal. We have always, as humans, dealt with four elements, and to the degree we are in balance with those elements, ecologically, environmentally, socially, physically, personally, we feel better. So I'm going to name the elements and what they are so people can, even as they're listening, think, am I in balance? Fire is passion, desire, action, energy. I have a lot of fire in my chart.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, steadiness, loyalty, reliability, dependability, stewardship. Air, inspiration, openness, intelligence, vision. Water, feeling, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, empathy.
Mm.
Now, when I say those four elements and their categories, it's easy to see how much better we'd all be if we had all four of those in balance with each other in every area of our life, which is what my book is about.
So I noticed going through the chapters that you have lists of qualities that fall under the domains. Is that correct?
Exactly. You're so good at this.
So, well, I'm not really, but I'm learning and I'm really enjoying learning about it. I see that you ask people to go through the list and to check off the positive or the negative or where you are, fall into those domains. The domains are like houses?
Yes, but I'm going to tell you the unskillful because I think this is very important. We all have to embrace our reactivity and our flaws and not be embarrassed or ashamed about them, but keep working on them. So I'm going to use myself as an example, and maybe you can say something about yourself, but I'm very strong in fire. So I'm very passionate. I'm very optimistic. I'm very bright. I'm very action-oriented. Well, the shadow side or the unskillful side of that is impatient, easy to anger, easy to irritability, and kind of bossy. When I'm tired, when I'm not balanced, I'll flip into those. Not pretty. I work on it my whole life. So every element has its strength and its weakness. No shame, but be honest. If you're having an unskillful part of the element, get more support, get more help, get more balance. So I'm going to give you the unskillful of each element. For the earth people, they can become stuck, rigid, greedy, and stubborn. For the air people, they can be flaky, they can be airheads, like not substantial, they can be distracted, and they can be unfeeling. The water people, if they're not skillful, can be clingy, moody, temperamental, and victim-y, like whiny. I like to say we're having a human experience. It includes all of these things. I've never met a human that doesn't have both the skillful and unskillful. I believe the more we lean into our strengths and look for balance, the less we will exhibit these unskillful sides. What do you think?
I think so too. And what came up for me was, as you were listing off the qualities, the skillful qualities of the elements and the unskillful qualities, I could relate more to the unskillful qualities. In other words, do people look at their weaknesses to determine maybe what element?
Yes. However, I've gotten to know you a bit, and I'm going to say this. You suffer from really not seeing your strengths as well as others do. Like, I've seen it about you already. So I'd say you, by your personality, will see yourself less virtuous or less skillful than we all see that you are. One of your hardest parts is your self-critic looms large.
Yes. So what would that mean as far as elements for me? Would that
self-critic,
mean...
that would probably mean earth.
Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yes, I think that's your... Because what I noticed about you is you're one of the most kind, gracious, dependable, reliable, punctual, service-oriented, all of that's earth. Now, when you're that much earth, you often also have this feeling you're never enough, you haven't done enough, you could have done it better, all of that stuff. So
yes,
we have those things.
Back to you, because that's what we want to be talking about. is that earth? That's probably earth.
Yeah. We don't talk about Doro too much. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Trish is going to laugh so hard at this, by the way.
I know. We're opposites, so we could really analyze that. But anyway, forget that. You go through the 12 domains. Can you just tell us what that means?
Those. In the map of your soul or the astrology chart, there are 12 sections of life that are just defined, which is beautiful. The first is self-image and body. The second is values and resources and money. The third is siblings and also communications. The fourth is home and family. The fifth is creativity and children. The sixth is health habits and work habits. The seventh is partnership, marriage, partners, business partners. The eighth is death, taxes, and sexuality, the kind of most intense things. The ninth is higher education and learning and long-term travel, like long-distance travel. The tenth is career and reputation. The 11th is friends and associations and groups. And the 12th is spirituality, dreams, and also the divine arts, like film and music and dance and all that.
And these are areas, how does it fit into how you're supposed to live your life?
When you're looking at my book. The book will take you through each of these areas of your life. Well, having a human experience, we all have these areas of life. It's important that we live them consciously and deliberately and intentionally. Mm-hmm. So, for example, take values and money, second domain. It's extremely important that we are mindful of what we have, what we spend, what we use, and what we need. That's the second domain. You can't live without it. So each of these domains are parts of a human life that need attention. And in my book, I talk about if you live each one in balance, then pretty much every day, no matter what happens, you're coming from the best possible place to address the gifts and challenges in your life.
The domains are like a structure that you can use to monitor all these different aspects of your life using the elements to help you.
Yes, and it's like a flow chart, if you will.
Like a flow chart. Okay.
You can put all of these domains as areas of activity, and you can evaluate every day how fully you are balanced in each of these areas. And my book is just a tool to get more aware. It's the beginning of every process of awakening is awareness. Once I become aware that there's a whole sector called creativity in my chart, I don't want to ignore that. We're all born to be creative.
That makes sense to me. So if I feel like it's a tool that can keep you on track for living your best life.
Just like we have the steps. People count steps a lot. You know, I did 5,000 steps. I did 10,000. Well, that's just your physical activity. Consider this a 12-point program of steps to live the best life you could live.
That's a good analogy. That makes a lot of sense to me. And this must be maybe in the readings. Do you go into strategies for once you discover? It seems to be the awareness is the first thing. And then maybe some honesty, because we don't all want to always check off the box that says our weaknesses. We sometimes tend to hide those away.
I also lead a bunch of groups. And I think the one reason people come back to work with me is I'm very honest and transparent about my flaws and weaknesses. Yes. I think it takes women leaders and men leaders and theys or whatever to really say, nobody's ahead. I have skills, you have skills, but I have many flaws. I'm working on myself. And I think I create a space in the reading or in the group for everybody just to be honest and real, because there's no pecking order when it comes to being evolved. We're all learning. I'm learning alongside with you. I just have different things than you have. Like, I don't have your particular self-critic, but I don't ever watch you get mad at anybody or lose your patience. You know, so we have different things we're working on.
Yes.
I think that's great. And it does require rigorous honesty to grow in one's life. And it requires reliable mirrors. And I want to spell that out for people. One of the ways I continue to grow is my partner tells me the truth about how I'm showing up or not. And I listen to the feedback. My friends will joke with me if I'm being in some way unproductive or not palatable. You know, they'll let me know.
Yeah.
And I like that because I want to keep growing. So we have to start with the premise. If you want to grow, you need people that are around you, not just saying yes, but saying yes and. Mm-hmm. And you need a willingness, a deep willingness to keep being coached.
When you identify these things that have potential for growth, do you, in your readings, go into strategies?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very practical. That's the psychology part. So
okay.
That's, we spend most of the session on the strategies. That's the perfect word for it. So if somebody is deep into self-doubt as part of their weakness, I have a lot of tools to help you address that. So that's the psychology part. I've spent my whole life studying techniques and strategies to address some of the most common everyday problems that people have and how to make headway on them.
One of the joys of meeting you was meeting your wife, your partner.
We aren't married. Let me be clear on that.
Okay, you're a partner.
Yeah, my partner. And now I know some same-sex people really need to get married and want to get married and want the right to marry. And I'm full support of that.
Yes.
I'm engaged to Rindy for 28 years and I'm in love with her and will spend my life with her, but I prefer being engaged.
Your engaged partner, Rindy, who
yeah.
is pretty spectacular too. She's a lovely person. How did you meet her?
We were both therapists working in the same counseling center, and we met as therapists working together. We had that in common, and we were also really avid ocean swimmers. That's how we met.
Oh, so you would just, for exercise, swim? Where would you do that?
We still do. We still do.
Where?
We live in Montecito, and
okay.
there are a couple of beaches right near our house within 5 miles in which we have, and I'm not exaggerating, although I tend to exaggerate, so just know that, Dora, but I'm not on this. Rindy and I have swam over 100 times with wild dolphins.
Oh, wow. How beautiful is that?
And that's kind of how we got to know each other.
Do you swim the length of the beach and back? How do you do it?
We can't do it at this one beach anymore because there's a lot of sharks, and that
yeah.
happened over the last 10 years. But we used to swim out past the buoys, you know, there's a certain area,
yeah.
and then swim parallel to the beach. Maybe once every 6 times the dolphins would come and swim around us.
Amazing. So would you wear a wetsuit and would you have like a buoy so a boat doesn't run over you?
There were no boats at that time. There still aren't boats. No, we don't wear wetsuits. I like cold water. It's not that cold in California, but what is true is as we've gotten older, we did try to get some wetsuits, but then it was so funny because they're so hard to put on, we don't even use them.
They're really hard to put on. The two of you have created this wonderful not-for-profit, I think it's called AHA?
Yes, we started that back in 1999 after the Columbine shooting, because as therapists and educators, we believed no child should ever feel that alienated and feel so much hate for themselves and others that they would do something like that. So we wanted to get ahead of it, and we created this nonprofit back then. It's going really strong. 70,000 kids and teachers later, it's all about healthy relationships, social-emotional education, full accountability to be a thriving, contributing citizen, no matter who you are and where you come from. Everybody's in. Rindy and I advise on that now. We're not in the everyday, but there are people that are working in schools, mm-hmm. out of schools. We have a summer program. We have a little farm that kids work and learn sustainable farming. We have a digital cleanse in which teenagers come and spend 5 days without devices in nature. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of offerings all with the same goal, creative, soulful, healthy connection and respect for all life and all people and all things. That's our goal. Mm,
that sounds really beautiful. I don't know if this question segues from that or if this refers to something else, but what is your relationship check-in tool?
Oh, that is an important thing. You're so good, Doro. Nobody's ever this prepared. So let me tell you, back down, self-critic. You've really studied it. Okay, so
thank you.
The relationship check-in tool is a passion of mine. So what happened is, in years of coaching women, particularly that were dating, and maybe you have friends or relatives that were younger doing this, people would call me or be in a session with me and say, I just don't know if this relationship is healthy or not. I just don't know if I should stay or should I go. And they'd always say to me, what do you think? And I'd say, I'm not in this relationship. I'm not going to weigh in on whether this is a good or bad relationship. You need to know this. But I realized most people didn't have empirical data to really evaluate whether it was a good relationship. They were just basing it on the mood of the moment. So mm-hmm. I created a relationship check-in tool that gives people a way to actually every day scale and evaluate how healthy they are in the relationship they're in, whether it's short-term or long-term. Now, I did this years ago, but I was approached by Nebula Horoscope, a Ukrainian company. I've been working with the Ukrainians, and they paid me a small sum to make it available for their users. So you can do a free trial on Nebula Horoscope for the relationship check-in. And I'm passionate about this because if people did 5 minutes a day actually monitoring their own behavior in relationship and whether it was healthy or not, they would have a very clear grasp of how good this relationship is for them. That's why I created it.
Is it a series of questions or what is it?
Imagine that you're taking it right now, Doro. It would say, how free do I feel to be affectionate in this relationship scale from 1 to 5? I forget what the scaling is. How often do I take time for my spiritual practice? How much am I exercising and doing my self-care today? How easily do I communicate with my partner about difficult things? You know, I'm in a long-term relationship. I believe you are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that being with one other human being and doing it well takes enormous effort. You cannot right. take it for granted. So this basically works through a whole grid of things you want to be conscious about from your end. You're the only person that you can control. Did you do your mindfulness practice today? Like for me, and I don't know about you, but when I do all my spiritual practice, get my physical exercise, eat well, etc., I'm a pretty good partner. When I don't do that, I don't know.
That's so true. That's a really great tool, and people can access it through Nebula?
Nebula Horoscope. It's an app, and you can try it out for free, this particular relationship check-in.
And then when you came to Boca Grande, you gave me an astrology deck. Talk about that, because you have several.
Well, the two that are most important to me right now, Astrology Oracle Deck, the one you saw, and my upcoming Cosmic Parenting, which I'm really excited about because it's going to help so many parents get more connected to their children. But the Astrology Oracle Deck is a great tool just to build your intuition. So all of us want to be more intuitive because we want to trust ourselves. We want to feel very clear in our decision making. And we want to always feel, at least I do, that my decisions come from a more humble, devoted place than an ego kind of what's in it for me place. So the deck is a way to just work with your intuition. You pick a card based on the moment. You say a question like, what about me going to Bali to do a retreat? And you pick a card and it's going to give you some options to think about. And then you really reflect on those options and think, which is the best option for me? As we started this interview, nobody's going to tell you anything that you don't already know, but it's good for you to decide from your deepest, wisest place. So that's what the astrology deck's for. The Cosmic Parenting deck that's coming out in March is actually a tool to get to know your children and your parenting style much, much better.
You randomly think of something, some question, and then you pick a card and it helps you to sort of think it through?
Yes, you pick a card and it helps you zero in on what you really want to do about that question. It doesn't tell you what to do. It gives you options. And then you really get to go, huh. So for example, if I was wondering about getting into a business enterprise with a friend, and I pull a card and it gives me three options. One is, forget that option. This is a horrible idea. You'll do it horribly. The next option is, this is a very sound possibility for you. You can make the best of it. And the third option is, let this be a devotional connection between you and this opportunity and see what comes of it. It just gives you ideas on how to approach it.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So is there anything else that I've left off that you want our listeners to know before we end this amazing interview?
Well, first of all, I'm filled with gratitude that you and Tricia invited me to Gasparilla and that I met incredible people there that I've stayed some in contact with.
Good.
But more than that, I'm all about this. As a woman who's 65, turning 66 this month, my biggest motivation right now is to elevate women of a certain age. I believe age is not a determinant. It's just a number. And aliveness is not measured by age or by looks. So I want to be a stand for every single woman of a certain age to realize she can be fully alive. And in that aliveness, give so much to herself and her loved people and her community. The final thought is, friendship, like you and Tricia have, is extraordinary. When you can find a friend that you love and you can work with, this is life's gold. Because friendship is exquisite, and then meaningful work together is beyond wonderful. And so I want to thank you two for finding each other and creating this together.
Oh, well, thank you. And one of the joys of what we do is that we get to meet people like you. You know, that just makes our world much brighter. So I thank you for coming on Health Gig. I'm very excited about your book, A Map to Your Soul. It's a great resource, and I hope everybody buys it. Please give my love to Rendy, and it's just wonderful to see you again.
You too, and keep meditating and playing golf and loving your brothers, because, you know, that's what it's all about.
I know.
Thank you for joining us on Health Gig. We loved having you with us. We hope you'll tune in again next week. In the meantime, be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast and follow us on healthgigpod.com. I'm Tricia.
And I'm Doro.
Be well.